This morning's scripture is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, as a prisoner for the Lord, I encourage you to live as people worthy of the call you received from God. Conduct yourselves with all humility, gentleness, and patience. Accept each other with love, and make an effort to preserve the unity of the Spirit with the peace that ties you together. The word of God for the people of God.
So as we mentioned before, this morning is a special day. We're doing stories rather than sermon, but I believe that we can hear God through the stories that are lived of each one of you here today. And today, because we are leaning into the week of 4th of July, we wanted to share how faith and citizenship intertwine. And we know that it's different for each of us. Each one of us has a different story about what it means to live in this country right now. And to start off, we're going to hear by one of our congregation members, Mirella. And Mirella is going to come forward and share a little bit about what faith and citizenship looks like for her. So let's all please give a nice welcome for Mirella.
Good morning. My name is Mirella Fonseca. I was born in Ecuador. And I live in this city of Quito. I work as a nurse in a hospital. My life in Ecuador was very hard, little by little. I was contemplate the idea of getting out of my country in search of new horizons for me and my children. Finally, I understood that I had to immigrate to the United States of America. I did not see other way. I was begged to the God to guide me in this project. Finally, I left my country after so many problems and difficulties. I arrived here. I start a new life. I had to transform myself and become a different person. I work very hard, sometimes doing things that in my country I could not even imagine. Step by step, only by the help of God, I start moving ahead when my situation improved. I start thinking on legalizing my immigration. Started why is the intention of getting American citizen. After many years, there came the day I had dreamed of becoming an American citizen. This has changed my life a lot. Now I can travel to the Ecuador and visit my children. That is very important to me. For me, this is like a dream that became reality. I believe in God, and I thank Him every day for all His blessings. I assisted to Flores Church to the Latino ministry, and my faith grows very day. Thank you. Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you so much to Mirella and also to Jacqueline De Los Rios, who heads up our Latinx ministries. You guys might not know this, but once a month on Saturdays, they're getting together and they're worshiping in the fellowship hall. And that's a beautiful way that we can be the church to people that maybe don't even speak English as their first language. So can we give another round of applause to thank Mirella? At this time, we're going to hear a different story, a different perspective of what faith and citizenship looks like from someone who has experience in the military. And so can we please welcome up Amanda Nicholas?
Good morning. I will have to admit that when Barbara asked me to talk about faith and my time in the military, it was actually a hard prompt to do, especially because I've kind of lived my life in the church, and faith has been a part of my journey all the time, and not just when I was in the military. So trying to isolate that was something I had to wrap my head around, but I think I got there. So I just kind of want to share a little bit of my story and how that impacted me and how God has been through that journey with me. I grew up in the church, and so when I decided to go to college, I went to a small Christian school in Seattle. The funny story about that is that I grew up in an evangelical church. The church I went to was actually a Free Methodist affiliated church. So I went to college at a school, learned about the Wesleyan way and how God really impacts our vocational calling. I was just telling Barbara, I had no idea what the scripture was, but the scripture talks about our calling and using our gifts to serve God. And that's what I learned at school. Our school motto was engage the culture and change the world. And I really saw that as we engage the culture through our vocational calling with our gifts to change the world. And that's kind of how I lived my life. I also grew up in a military-friendly family. My mom, my grandpa was in the military, so my mom moved around the country a lot, and she didn't want that for us, so I didn't move around as a military kid. But my stepdad was in the Air National Guard, so I spent many events and many special occasions at Fairchild Air Force Base watching the Thunderbirds and going to air shows and really spending time around the military. So when it came time for me to explore what I might do outside of college, the military was always kind of this calling, that this gentle nudge that I had. The other piece of that is I started college in September of 2001. And so that was a huge impact. Our country was at the highest level of patriotism, but also of fear and anxiety of just what our country was going to look like after that terrorist attack. When I was on spring break on a mission trip, actually, outside of the country, it was spring break of my sophomore year that we initially invaded Iraq. And so by the time I graduated in 2005, we were actively at war in our country. So choosing to go into the military was not a light or easy choice. My training is as a nurse, so I was going into healthcare, which you could say is a vocational calling all in itself. But I started to really look at how I could serve God and serve people through being a nurse, but also in the military. So I tried to apply for the United States Air Force. And if you know me, you know I was not in the Air Force. The Air Force said no thank you because I had had laser eye surgery in my junior year. And so I kind of felt that was a nudging from God that not at this time. So I worked as a nurse in Dallas, Texas. I worked as a travel nurse back in Washington State and then in Florida. But that calling to be in the military never really left me. And so I decided to try again. And the next time I applied for the military, I asked and inquired at the United States Navy and said, I would like to know if I can get that medical waiver for my laser eye surgery. And they said, yes, we will make that happen. So I commissioned in October of 2008 as a United States Navy Nurse Corps officer. And so I did my training in Providence, Rhode Island, and then I was stationed at the National Naval Medical Center at Bethesda, which, if anybody's in the military, you now know it as the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center at Bethesda, because they joined those bases in the last year that I served there. While I was in the Navy and in the military, we were still actively involved in Operation Enduring Freedom. Many of my colleagues and my friends went to Afghanistan and served alongside the Marines to provide medical support for that operation. As a military member, we know that we're all one family, so even if you're not on the front line, you're still supporting the efforts that are happening. I was on the cardiac telemetry floor, serving some of our highest officers, their families, state senators and representatives. And then I moved into the NICU in the later half of my time of service. I was deployed on the USNS Comfort, providing earthquake relief for the 2010 earthquake in Haiti. And that was quite an experience, being on a hospital ship in the midst of a crisis like that. The boat was in dry dock, and we got on the boat, got as fast to Haiti as we could on a very slow-moving hospital ship and provided that care. Through it all, it's that calling. So you're serving in the military, I'm a nurse. You are using your skills in that God-given service to help people in a really hard time of need. And I was able to do that both working as a nurse in the hospital, working in the military, but also being able to serve my country at that higher level. When you're in the military, you sign up to say, I am here for wherever you need me. And that is the same way that I approach my faith, as I tell God, I'm here wherever we need me. We talked about that when Tom was leaving with that Wesley Creed of just, I'm here. Use my service. And so when I think about how I served in the military and how that impacted my faith and how my faith impacted my time in the military, that's really all it is I walk every single day in my faith with God and just say, show me where to go, show me how to use my gifts, and call me to where you want me. And that's how I served in the military. So that's kind of my story.
Thank you so much, Amanda. It's such a gift to have her here with us. She brings so many gifts to our church, and her whole family is such a blessing to us. And now we're going to hear from Eddie. Eddie's on staff as our assistant worship leader, and it has been a true honor to know Eddie. If you don't know Eddie, come meet him after this. He's great. And he's going to share his perspective on what faith and citizenship has meant for him and his family. So let's please welcome Eddie.
Good morning. It is a pleasure to be here to celebrate with you this weekend. I'll be sharing the story of my mother and her journey to citizenship. My mother, Rosie Belle Garay, was born the second of seven children to Leoncio Varela and Bersabe Garay. And on July 10th of 1959, she grew up very poor with dirt floors and no electricity, in a small town of about 200 people called Intipuca, El Salvador. I've been to Intipuca, I've been to my mother's town, and nowadays I think the town is about 400 or 500 people. So it hasn't grown very much. But I can remember my mother sharing the story of having to split one egg with her siblings and then use tortillas to fill in the rest. In second grade, her parents gave her the choice to continue to go to school or to help out in the family's shop where they sold cigars and flour and other items. And so she chose to work to help her family. And in her teen years, she shared stories of seeing kidnappings at random and boys that were taken from the streets by the military to serve. And as El Salvador was headed towards civil war, she decided her only choice was to leave and to search for a better life in the United States. With a group of about 20 people, they hitchhiked and walked from Intipuca, El Salvador, and they even paid a coyote to help see them through. And the group along the way continued to be sort of separated and kind of broken apart from one another. And at one point, they were even abandoned by their guide. But with the faith that there was something better, they continued on. And after crossing into Brownsville, in a desperate state of days without food or water, my mother was taken in by a family of strangers. She was given food and new clothes and shelter for about 2 weeks. And they were able to make contact with her family in Washington, D.C., where she would be able to go about 2 weeks later to find work with her aunt at a restaurant called Casa Juanita's. And it was here on his lunch breaks from the Botanic Gardens that my dad would befriend Tia Juanita and come to meet my mother. When they met, my dad didn't know any Spanish, and my mom did not speak any English. With faith and love, they knew they had found something better, something they both had been waiting for. My mother would go on to be naturalized after being married to my dad. She would have two boys. I am one of them. She learned to speak English very well and always supported my brother and I. A few months ago, my mom and I traveled back to Brownsville, Texas, to visit with the family that had taken her in. It was an amazing experience. She had not seen that family in person since her trip, since her crossing into the U.S. It felt like a homecoming, a pilgrimage, a time of thanksgiving. It felt like real love. And now I'd love to share a song with you all. And this is a song that I'm going to sing in Spanish and in English. Thank you. So, wish me the best of luck. Do you have a capo?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Thank you. Maybe unironically, this is one of my mother's favorite songs, and so it's One Day at a Time. And I have memories of being a kid and hearing my mom sing this song just as she'd be around the house and taking care of us. Necesitaron mi encuentro, Señor. Ayúdame a ver, yo quiero saber lo que debo hacer. Muestra el camino que debo seguir. Señor, por mi bien, yo quiero vivir un día a la vez, un día a la vez. Mi Cristo, es lo que pido de ti. Dame la fuerza para vivir un día a la vez. Ayer ya pasó, mi Cristo, mañana quizá no vendrá. Ayúdame hoy, yo quiero vivir un día a la
I'm just a man. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, help me to take one day at a time. Time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow never be mine. Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time.
Amen. Thank you.